Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Well, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. I want to look at two verses, 13 and 14. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And I'm going to have Reverend Mays to read this in our hearing. But I do want you to follow him in your word. When you have it, say amen. 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 Rita.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find
it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in God's presence. But just a little while this morning, I want to challenge you with our message being in the form of a question. And the question is, where are you going? Where are you going? You know, many people, if you'd asked them that question, they would come up with certain answers in a temporary setting, in a short-term existence. But many of them cannot honestly tell you where they are going. It's because many folk have not really sincerely taken the time to consider the end now. We kind of go along with a go-along, get-along attitude, mentality. We kind of deal with life with a, I'm just going to roll with the punches. Any way the wind blows is cool with me. It's kind of wherever I find myself, I'll deal with it when I'm there. But there's no real particular set purpose, no place, no goal, no desire to say, I want to be here in 5 years. I want to be here in 20 years. I want to be here at the end of my life, God sparing and God willing. It's as if we live from day to day, come what may. Or else we take the attitude of que sera, sera. Whatever will be. And it's almost as if we have no part to play in the process. It's almost as if we have no decisions. It's almost as if it's robotic, that we must just do whatever comes natural, whatever feels good, whatever the situation calls for. And that kind of thinking, my brothers and sisters, will end us up in devastating and destructive places. Diana Ross used to sing many years ago, do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know? Do you get what you're hoping for? When you look behind, there is no open door. What are you hoping for? Do you know? Those are important questions, my brothers and sisters. It may be fit to a song, but the reality is, do you really know where you're going to? Do you get what you're hoping for? And one of the things that I like about that second verse is the fact that we don't realize that we pass up more than we catch up with. When we look behind us, the doors are closed because opportunity is before us and not behind us. And oftentimes, we never get the gist of that reality until it's too late. Now, this message is about choices. It's about contrasting choices. It's about heaven and hell. It's about life and death. It's about good and bad. It's about light and darkness. And there are yet many other contrasts that we will discover in the text. But it's all about what you choose to do. There is a straight gate. There is a broad and wide gate. There are things that we must recognize require dedication, requires difficulty, and it requires us to be devoted to the cause. That's the straight gate. But then there is the wide gate, the broad way that leads to selection, direction, and or correction if you catch yourself in time. Listen, let me start with the narrow gate. It says straight gate. It does not mean straight, straight as in no curves, no bends. That's not the word they're using. It's straight. And that word means difficult and troublesome. The straight gate was a small, narrow gate. As a matter of fact, the old saying was that you literally had to be nearly naked to go through the narrowness of that gate, which literally meant that you could not be loaded down with the possessions and the cares and all of the excesses of the world to get through that gate. In other words, when you got to that gate that was in the wall to get to that city or that place that you were going in, you needed to recognize that you had to make some decisions because you couldn't carry all that stuff through the gate. So you had to decide whether you wanted to go through the narrow way, which meant all of the excess baggage that you had on you had to be left there for you to get in. And so, again, the spiritual implication is to go the Lord's way, to go through that straight, difficult, troublesome gate meant that you had to let go all the worldly baggage and excess that you carry from day to day, because the way, listen to this, once you get through the gate, it's still narrow. So it's not like you could get in and then reach back and grab your stuff and bring it and put it on and carry it with you, because the way is narrow. And you can barely squeeze through yourself, let alone bringing excess baggage. So it meant you had to make a decision. Am I going to go the way of the Lord and leave the worldliness of the world behind me? That required for you to make a decision, because the road would be difficult. And then here is the other interesting thing about it. It says that on this road you wouldn't have much company. You might find somebody every now and then traveling on the straight and the narrow, and it's a lonely place because you don't have folk that you can join up with, have conversation with, because there's not many folk who made the choice to go down the straight and narrow path. And so Many times you didn't get encouragement from others around you. You had to get it from God above or within one's own self. You had to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Because every now and then, the road would get rough, but it wasn't nobody there to tell you, hang on in there. You had to tell yourself, hang on in there, because one of the problems was you didn't have a lot of turnaround room. I wish I had some helpers in the house here. And then here is the other problem. Even if you went so far up and decided to turn around, if somebody else was coming in on the trail, you couldn't pass them by. So it was a path, listen, that led to life. Life. At the end of the struggle, at the end of the trouble, at the end of the dedication, at the end of the sacrifice of going in through the straight gate and the narrow way, the end result was life. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Because the bottom line is, if you don't learn to give up stuff here and now, and go through some stuff while you're here, what makes you think you're going to do it when you get to heaven? You won't be able to get to heaven. God is looking for folk who will be real here before they get there. Make a choice here to be there. And all of that requires you making the mental and spiritual commitment to go through, even though it gets rough, even though it gets tough, even though it gets lonely, even though sometime you got to go all by yourself and it'll be long trials ahead without anybody to really encourage you, but you got your mind made up and your heart is fixed and you're not going to turn around. But then there is a wide gate with a broad way. And this literally meant that this was a passageway that did not require you to be dedicated, committed, sold out, mind made up, heart fixed. It was a place where everybody was going. Everybody was doing it. You do what you feel right to do. It's your thing. Do what you wanna. Yeah, y'all hear me. Yeah. It's that place where everybody can do what floats their own boat, and nobody got no judgment about nobody. It's that when in Rome do what the Romans do syndrome, that wide gate, that broad way says you can be what you want to be in spite of what God called you to be. You can do what you want to do, and nobody's there to cast judgment on you. Broadway says, listen, if it feels good, do it. If dancing is your thing, dance on. If drinking is your thing, drink on. Yeah, if running around, playing around, being a clown is your thing, do it. It was like no rules. All is right. And so that way is so broad that it's crowded. And it's people everywhere doing their own thing. No commitment to God. No dedication. No devotion. No anything. Now here's what they have the problem of doing. Most of them did not select this way. They just fell into it. They followed somebody who was the wrong company. They picked the wrong friends. They saw the wrong advertisement and thought they'd try it. Somebody came along and told them, you know, it's all right, you know, everybody's doing it. And so they really, they just really found themselves going in the wrong direction. They didn't make a selection. But here's the problem with this. As a story told about former President Ronald Reagan, when he was a young man, young teenager, his aunt took him to the shoemaker called the cobbler to have him a pair of shoes made for a special occasion. And when they went to the cobbler to tell him what he wanted, the cobbler began to explain all of the different things about the various shoes and what he thought would be best for young Reagan. And when they settled on the shoe, the final end was, he asked him, do you want round toe or square toe? Because that was where Ronald's choice was going to be necessary for the end result to be what he wanted it to be. All the workmanship, the craftsmanship, all of the comfort and all the rest, that all that's going to be built in. But if he wanted the round toe or the square toe was his choice. His aunt said, Ronald, it's your decision, whatever you like best. The cobbler said, well, son, what do you want? He said, I don't really know. He said, well, okay, think about it and let me know. So about a week and a half later, the cobbler saw him in the marketplace and said, young Ronald, do you know what style you want, the round toe or the square toe? He said, well, I still haven't made up my mind. He said, well, I tell you what, come by in about a week and pick your shoes up. So a week later, he goes to the cobbler to pick up his shoes, and to his amazement, he got one rounded toe and the other square-toed. And he asked them, why was this so? And the cobbler said, let this be a lesson for you in life, that when you don't make a selection, somebody else will make a selection for you. How many things can we look back in our own lives and say we're in this mess because somebody else made the selection for us? We did not make it ourselves. You either make a selection or a selection is going to make you. And so you've got to learn. You've got to take responsibility for who you are, for whose you are, for where you are, and for what you do. You can't keep blaming everybody for your mistakes or for your place in life or what you did not accomplish or what you did do. Nobody makes you do certain things underneath the skin but you. And so the truth of the matter is, some of our lives are messed up because we didn't have what it takes to make the right decision, the right choice. Then the second thing is, if our selection is not right, our direction will not be right. And so you've got to learn, my brothers and sisters. Late great Brother Ernest Hollins used to say all the time, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. How many times have you been out of town? Before they had GPS, you had to read a map. And so so many times you were reading a map and driving, or somebody else, your navigator, was reading and telling you which way to go, and they waited too late, and the turn you should have turned was right there, and you couldn't get over, or you couldn't make that turn, and so you wind up going in a direction you didn't want to go, and it took you so far down that you had to get off and retrack yourself. It didn't have GPS where it tells you you passed this in 600 feet. make a U-turn or go down 1 mile and a half and make a right. You didn't have that. You had to figure out how to get back in the right direction. And yet there were times when the traffic wouldn't let you get out of the lane you were in. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You're in the middle lane. You need to get in the right lane so you could exit off. You got your blinkers on, and nobody would let you get in. And so that's when many of our Christian character comes through. Turn off the blinker and you wave at them. But you don't always wave the right way. You start hollering in your car like they can hear you. You get mad with them because you didn't take the right turn. Can't get mad with nobody else because they won't let you in at the last minute. Direction is wrong. But here's another thing that I think you need to consider. That God permits us, when our direction is wrong, to make a correction. But oftentimes, we don't make that correction or try to make that correction until we've come to a point where things can't be changed and where there is no correction. And all of us have been, sense of us sitting here acting holier than thou, like we've always been on the straight and narrow, we've always done the right thing, always been with the right people, always made the... No. But there is something on the inside of us at some point and said, you're on the wrong road. You're hanging out with the wrong kind of people. This is not what God's called you to do. There is something on the inside of us that makes us realize this has got to come to an end. I've got to turn around. That's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is older, he will not depart from that training. It does not say he wouldn't get off the path for a moment. Doesn't say he wouldn't travel the wrong way for a moment. Doesn't say he'll be or she'll be perfect every single day and every single hour of that day. But what it boils down to is when it comes right down to it, all of the teachings that they've been taught and has been instilled on the inside of them will rise up in them and cause them to have a difficult time doing wrong and staying in that wrong way. Their consciousness will begin to bother them because the God on the inside of them will begin to show up in them and make them understand this is not the right way. Get it together. Because the end is death. And then God starts showing you pictures of death all around you. People dropping. It could have been you. Car accident. It could have been you. You were high, flying high, driving a vehicle. You weren't even in the air, but you thought you were doing. I mean, the devil messes with your mind, but God comes and he constrains us. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do you know who you belong to? Do you know who you represent? Get yourself together. And when that conviction hits your heart, you got to repent. You've got to cry, Lord, forgive me. Straighten me out. Turn me around. Forgive me, God, for what I've done. I know. And then he starts stripping the joy of doing all those things away from you till it don't even make sense to do it no more. And then you'll be able to say, like the old saying, say, the things I used to do, I don't do them no more, or I don't do them as often, and it ain't because I can't. And so the truth of the matter is that Broadway leads to death and destruction. But the narrow way that's difficult and troublesome, that's sacrificial, that requires devotion, pays off in great dividends. Life eternal. And the joy of the Lord becomes your strength throughout the entire journey. And you'll be able to truly say, like the old Negro spiritual said, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free. Can't speak for my brother, my sister, my friend, my foe, but I'm free at last. And it's a choice you have to make.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I want to speak from that theme, dry bones in the valley. Can I get a witness? Dry bones in the valley. You see, the writer of our text this morning was Ezekiel, who was a prophet in exile. He was not at home. And that